Well, it's great to see you. Merry Christmas to everybody. How's it going so far? Who's excited that it's Christmas time? Yeah. It's like the best time of the year.
And birthdays.
Glad that you're here to celebrate with us. I want to welcome all of you in the overflow room. There's a huge crowd of people right underneath us here. We're all worshiping together. We're excited about what Christmas really means. If I haven't met you yet, my name is Sandy Isfeld. I serve as lead pastor here. We do these things because we believe that God is in them. We believe that God wants people to come together at Christmas and celebrate and worship His Son. It's all about that. And I'm so glad that you're here. And I got a message that I want to share with you. It's a brief message about hope. Who's interested in hope these days? I could use a whole batch of hope. It's been an interesting year in our family. We've gone through lots of changes, lots of great things happening, lots of stretching. And I was thinking about the whole world that we live in. I've been asking myself the question, is there any hope left in this world? Think about all the things that have happened in the last 12 months. The rise of ISIS. And that's really dashing hope to the ground in the Middle East. Then there's the increase of terrorism on our own continent. I think most experts would say, this isn't going to go away too quickly. So if you just want to wish it away, it's probably not going to go away. We've had a lot of changes in our own nation. We've got a new prime minister who campaigned on a platform of hope and change. And we've got a new premier in our province. And all these changes have hit us. And there's people that are very hopeful about those things. And there's some people who have given up hope about those things. And in case you didn't know it, if you're not an Albertan, there's an economic shift going on right here where we live. Things have changed. They've shifted on us. And so, yes, it is, again, time for us to look at what God says to us about hope. And I want to read a passage for you about hope out of the New Testament from the book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 13. The words will be on the screen. So let me share this verse with you. This is a great verse for Christmas Eve. Are you guys ready for it? All right. Here it goes. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Does that not sound like good news? That is great news. I want to say to you tonight that the message of Christmas, the message of Christ being born as our Savior, is a message of incredible life-giving hope. And it's a hope that all of us can have and we can all possess in our own hearts. But what do we mean by the word hope anyways? You know, I think most people would say hope means wishful thinking. Like, I hope I can make it to the mall on Boxing Day and get a good deal. Or I hope it warms up and we get a Chinook right over Christmas. And I think the word hope just gets used a lot and we don't really pay much attention to it. And there's little sayings that pop up every now and then like, here's hoping. Or don't lose hope, or we're down to our last hope, and all of those statements, I think, are not that helpful. But the Bible's view of hope can be very intriguing and very inspiring. And the biblical view of hope goes like this. It's about a joyful, certain expectancy of good from God. Can you remember that? A joyful, certain expectancy of good from God. That's what hope is. But I think that most of us would agree that we've all tried to live by that kind of hope, and we've failed to. It's been more of an experience of disappointment and disillusionment. For instance, I think it's possible for us to have a fictitious hope, and we just go through life pretending that we're hopeful, but we're not really sure of what we really believe. And there's all kinds of ways that we get into that trap. We want something to be ours. We reach for it. We try to grasp it, but we never get a hold of it. It's like that raise in pay they promised you a year ago, right? And you still didn't get it. Or it's like the breakthrough in your business that you're still hoping for. Or it's the news that you're waiting for from the doctor. The news that you hope goes like this. You're back to normal health, but you haven't heard those words yet. I know all about fictitious hope. When I was a kid growing up in a small town, we would go down to the local arcade in the summertime. And this arcade was only open in the months of July and August. It was there for the tourists to come and spend money at. And the local boys, me and my friends, we would go down there and we play these incredible games that only cost a nickel. They're called diggers. And that's the only way I can describe them. You just, you know, put a nickel in a box. You look through a glass. And this steel claw moves along. You try to guide it. And then it drops on something. And you try to grab a hold of it. Well, there was a prize there that we were after, and we were trying to lay hold of it, and guess what the prize was? It was beautiful. It was awesome. It was a silver flashlight with a $5 bill taped around it. And as young boys, we thought, that is worth living for. If we could just get $5, we'll make it through summer. Well, it wouldn't have lasted all summer, but it sure would have helped. So me and my friends were hoping against all hope that we would get a hold of this flashlight, and we put nickel after nickel after nickel into that digger. We'd spend our allowances on it, our grass-cutting money, and all it offered to us was disappointment. Now, just in case you think I'm a relic from the past, and I kind of am, I bet some of you have also been grasping at fictitious hope. But for you, it's not flashlights with $5 bills. No, for you, it's soft, fluffy toys, plush animals, in today's version of the hopeless money pit. So come on, be honest. How many of you wasted too many toonies trying to get one of those magic ponies? Or maybe Patrick from SpongeBob or Buzz Lightyear? Come on, be honest. I bet you all of you have done. You've been in a restaurant and you're like, oh, that one looks really easy to grab. So you fire off about 4 toonies and you finally walk out. It's a myth. No one ever wins in these games. Now, some people just can't stop themselves from trying. They want to grasp that thing. They're hoping, if I could just get a hold of that, my life will be better. And their frantic grasp for what they hope for gets them into trouble, like this little guy. Yeah, apparently this is a problem in shopping malls. 3-year-olds are crawling up into diggers and getting stuck. He's caught. You know, this is what happens when you abandon all reason. You crawl into a place of hopeless entrapment, and despair and imprisonment is your lot in life. And fictitious hope is so bad that if things don't change, you can waste your whole life pursuing something that you will never get a hold of. Like this guy who ended up, that's the kid grown up, actually. He never left. Hopeless. Right. But if that's you, don't despair. No one needs to stay entrapped in fictitious hope forever. There's real hope available, and it comes from God. And it will not make you embarrassed. It will not make you ashamed. Remember what real hope is. It's a joyful, certain expectancy of good from God. And the birth of Jesus, God's Son, brought hope into the world. It penetrated the darkness of our planet. That's why we celebrate hope at Christmas time. But there's another kind of ineffective hope that I think we can all understand, and I would call it false hope. This is when we put all of our confidence and our trust for the things of this life and our future in ourselves. It's when we look to our own ingenuity, our own capacity to get through life, and we're not really trusting in God. That's false hope. It's a hope that can't ultimately meet our needs. If you're sitting on your couch and saying to yourself, well, I think if the economy gets better, I'll be a more hopeful person. Or if I had more time in my life, I could probably be more hopeful. You're probably just wishful thinking. God knows that left to ourselves, we will never lay hold of the true hope that we need. And so, friends, you know what he does? He invites us into his hope. He makes it possible for us to have it. And then he displays that hope upon our hearts as we believe in him. In the book of Psalms 25, we read these words. It says, "No one who hopes in you, O Lord, will ever be put to shame. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Guard my life and rescue me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, my hope is in you." God is the source of our hope. God is the one who can give us the capacity to not just survive the things of this life, but to overcome them. And then, of course, there's one more ineffective version of hope we want to look at tonight. I call it fleeting hope. And fleeting hope is that hope that fades away. It's what you feel like when you get into a desperate set of circumstances. It's what you face when you need to be rescued, when you reach the end of your own human capacity. It's what you feel like when you're ready to give up. It's when hope seems to be disappearing in your life. It's fleeting. I think we're all familiar with the agony and the pain of those who are trying to find hope and safety fleeing the country of Syria. We've seen the images on the internet and on the television. And if that doesn't move our hearts, I think we're not human. And which one of those refugees sitting on a raft would be satisfied with fleeting hope? None of them. People need real hope, tangible hope, practical hope. And I think that we should affirm the efforts of the people, the agencies, and the mission organizations that are actually reaching out to help Syrian refugees land somewhere where they can begin their lives in freedom and in hope. The Bible says this, that hope that is deferred makes the heart sick. Hope that is delayed or put off forever and ever will eventually give a sickness in the human soul. And so it's true, friends. You might be able to survive for a couple of months without food. You might be able to survive for maybe a few days, several days without water. You might be able to survive for maybe a couple of minutes without air, but you can only live for a few seconds without hope. And maybe this year, some of us need to understand that our hope levels in our own lives need to be increased. And I pray that God would meet us in that area on Christmas Eve. I pray that He would show us that we can have an incredible anchor to our soul by hoping in Jesus, our Savior. Maybe you've lost hope on something in your life. Maybe you've given up hope on your future, your marriage, your children, your dreams. Or worse than that, maybe you've given up on God. And you wonder, is God good? Is He really, really, really aware of the stress that I'm going through? Is He there for me if I call upon Him? If I do put my hope and trust in Him, will He disappoint me? Listen to the words from the lamenting prophet Jeremiah, words that he gave during a time of economic and social chaos and disaster, words that found their ultimate fulfillment in the message of Jesus. It says this, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him." And friends, I just want to say the obvious, that if we want hope, we have to seek God for it. God is the one who will pour that hope into our lives as we turn to Him, as we trust Him, as we believe in Him. The hope then is birthed in our hearts. But I want to leave you with a sense of how real this hope is for all of us on Christmas Eve, because real hope is that joyful, certain expectancy of good from God. And here's why that's true. It's true because the hope that you can have is based on this reality, that God has come. God has come into the world. 2,000 years ago, hope broke into the world like never before. And it changed everything for everybody. Not just shepherds, not just wise men, but for us here today. In the arrival of Jesus, God's Son, hope was penetrating to all corners of the planet. God in human form was now with us. And the name that the prophets spoke early about was fulfilled when Jesus was born. His name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. God with you. God with me. The baby born in the manger was God in human form, born of the Virgin, born in lowly circumstances to refugee-like parents. The Christ child, seen by the shepherds, announced by the angels, revealed in dreams to Joseph, and later revered by the wise men, is God showing up in the world. It's God arriving and saying, it's time for hope. It's time for all of the people in the world to turn to Him and receive this massive, monumental, miraculous experience of hope. God amongst us. God with us in the rafts of life. God meeting us in our defeat and despair. God living in and through Jesus on earth. God who feels your pain. God who knows your name. God who comes to you again and again. In the person of Jesus the Son, your hope is solid because He has come. But also, your hope is based upon the reality, not just that He has come for us, but that He offers to rescue us and restore us to God. And it's true that left to ourselves, we will never figure that out. But God draws near to us. You see, He knows we're like spiritual refugees that just float around on a raft looking for home. We're always wondering, where is home? It's part of the human condition. We long for permanency. We're lost in our own selves, lost in our sins, and lost and without hope unless Jesus Christ is the center of our lives. When Jesus was about to be born, there was an angelic visitor who came down to meet the stepfather of Jesus, whose name was Joseph. And this is what he said to him in Matthew's gospel. "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." That's great news. Call him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. This is what he does for us. He rescues us. He restores us to God. And when we put our hope in him, when we finally get there, when we cross that line of decision and say, okay, I want that hope, I need that hope. When we finally put our hearts trust in him, then his presence, his actual presence, his living presence comes and dwells inside of us. That's why it says in that verse I first read for you, it says that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who brings you that hope. It's the Holy Spirit who brings the presence of God into your life so that you know that you are His and He is yours. So I got to ask myself then on Christmas Eve, I got to ask myself, what am I putting my ultimate hope in? Where is my hope really based? As I try to get through the struggles of life, am I looking to myself? Am I looking to my circumstances? Do I have a fleeting hope? Do I have a false hope? Where is my hope really based? Friends, on Christmas Eve, we love the truth that God has sent His Son into the world to give us hope. And we can make sure about this tonight. We can make sure that we have that hope in our hearts. You can make sure tonight that you're resting in the hope that Jesus gives you. It changes everything. It's the joyful, certain expectancy of God's goodness flowing into your life forever. And all He wants to do is have you receive that tonight. Our God is a giving God. Amen? He's a giving God. His heart and His nature is always to try to bless what He's made. And He wants to pour hope inside of your heart and give you a great year. But you just got to seek for Him. You got to come to Him. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask us to pray together. We like to pray as people on Christmas Eve. It's good for us to pray, to talk with God, and to make sure that we're heading in the right direction. And what I'm going to do is lead us in a prayer for all of us to kind of put down some worries and some fears. And then I'm going to lead us in a prayer for anyone who just needs to receive Christ into their life. You've never maybe done that yet, and you're just wanting to make sure that that's happening for you. We can lead you in a prayer so that you can have His hope inside of you. All right, sound good? Let's stand up together. I'm going to lead you in a prayer moment here. Just bow your hearts with me. We're just going to take a minute to do this, a couple minutes at most. And I want to first of all pray for all of us that are here, those that are upstairs, those in the overflow room. You guys who are in the overflow room, pray in your hearts along with us, okay? We're one group of people here. Let's pray. God, we thank You so much for the hope that we can have because You sent Your Son into the world to be our Savior. God, help us not to look to ourselves, but to Him as our ultimate hope. And so, God, I personally just surrender to You my worries, my fears, my concerns, and I ask that I would believe in You right now and be strengthened in my faith as I trust in You. God, I pray that You would be with me and with my family and my friends. And God, I pray that You would lead me into a great future filled with incredible hope. Now I want to invite you to pray with me. If you have not yet received Christ into your life, friends, Christmas Eve is the best time of year to do it. I want you to just pray these words with me, a prayer of commitment, a prayer of inviting Christ into your life. Whisper these words to him. Jesus, I'm turning to you tonight. I'm turning to you as my only hope. I welcome you into my life as Lord and Savior. I turn away from my sins and I ask you to forgive me and restore me to God. Thank you that you not only were born, but you lived and died and rose from the dead to give me forgiveness, to give me eternal life. Right now, I make you my King. I ask you to lead my life. I ask you to become the God of hope who dwells in me. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would come right now and dwell inside me. So I invite that to happen. Jesus, I'm trusting in you. I'm believing in you. Thank you that you've entered my life tonight. Thank you that I've received right now your incredible hope. In your awesome name, I pray.